Born and raised in Cutter, hey, all Clara, Compton off Elba, 120 in front of with youngins who clutch hammers and backpacks, down to the Zach back and around where they pull out the pound quick as a hashtag and at ya. I ain't get saved up in the burbs, wasn't the one clutching the gun, but I remember ducking from one, hugging the curb, young and disturbed, the hustler son, mother was stern, click shady with no love for the son, so don't look at me like this came easy, with one click of the jab, you probably dig up my past and find things easy, I've been afflicted, addicted, and cast into the trash, I paint a picture of that, to say he ain't leave me, he picked up my tab, so before I ever flip on my dad, to be a sinner with cash, let his gates receive me, I see the grave before I skate a pepper spray on him, look the Lord dead in his face, and pull a mace on him.
They say I hear where you coming from, but I be in the hood, all I see is money, mama, but you say they got it good, I've been thinking a whole lot about it lately, gotta be the reason he ain't take me, if he can save me, if he can save me, he can do it for anybody, he can do it for anybody, if he can save me, if he can save me, he can do it for anybody, he can do it for anybody,
You gon' have to show me what you live for, and how it's better than this God I go in for. If you say a dollar sign, you cannot deny that you got a God, homie, cause somebody got a print though.
Real talk.
You're telling me the streets is what has you. You're telling me the streets is the cancer. I've never been a genius in math, but if the streets the problem, they can't be the answer.
Nope.
They got my little brother on lockdown. Little homie fresh to a 10 in the box now. Spent years telling them what I'm telling y'all now. Praying that you listen before you hit that prison compound.
I've seen it happen.
Everybody wait till it's too late. 3 to 5 got you trying to move straight. The DA cut a deal, and you skate. Hell is real, ain't no cutting deals, it's them 2K.
They say I hear where you coming from, but I be in the hood. All I see is murder, murder, but you say they got it good. I've been thinking a whole lot about it lately, Gotta be the reason he ain't take me. If he can save me, if he can save me, he can do it for anybody, he can do it for anybody. If he can save me, if he can save me, he can do it for anybody, he can do it for anybody.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to another exciting day that the Lord has made, a training day. Amen. And we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Giving honor to Jesus Christ, the head of my life, to the Father, Lord God, Jehovah, and to the Holy Ghost, the keeper, the comforter, the strength of our lives. Lord, amen, and to all the pastors and, amen, pastors' wives and friends and saints and all those that are in school, out of school, and those that are just listening in, I just thank you all over the world for the privilege and the opportunity, amen, to share with y'all, amen. This is a marvelous day, amen. It's something now, but we're still dealing. Now I'm dealing with the devil. Amen. That's, it's sad that he exists, but he does. And the purpose. Amen. Amen. Now I call this, don't let the devil ride. Amen. Let's go before the throne of grace. Let's put it in the hands of God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you and we praise you for the opportunity to even come before your throne to give you all the glory and honor. We thank you, Lord, that you are blessing each and every one. Lord God, we're asking that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, blessing the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will more know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have already in the saints, and the great and exceeding power that you have made available, Lord. strengthen, Lord, in might those in the heart, in the might, in the heart of those who are yet dealing with bereavement and the many challenges that are being thrown at them in life, Lord. Bless their hearts to be open to hear your word today. Amen. Father God, we're asking that you would bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and courage to carry it out. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father, I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people that which you would have me to say. I want it to be all of you and none of me, and we thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name. You know, I really am not one to give a lot of credit to the devil because he's the problem. But, you have to look at the whole picture. You know, I think when I look at the various teachings that I've heard and have read over this issue, I had to wonder, did they really ask God about it, or did they just try to go at it with their own intellect? I know one particular person, they definitely asked God about it because I learned a whole lot from them. Amen. I want to give a shout out to Rick Renner, amen, and his teaching on how the devil works. You might want to look that up on YouTube because it's part of, it wasn't, if they had waited, if Satan had waited, If on God, then he would have been, would not have, he would have had a better understanding of the whole. You know, the other angels, particularly in the leadership level, Michael and Gabriel, they waited. And now they're seeing more of it. And the interesting part is they weren't under pressure. Satan wasn't under pressure. He, like I say, he didn't have coal. He didn't have too much heat. He didn't have the limitations that we have, and yet he couldn't be patient and wait. And I don't think they were prohibited from asking God what is going on, because God's the only one that knows everything. I mean, everybody here knew. Okay, I don't care how long you've been here, you're new. And we know when you compare omniscient, how do you measure that on an intellectual scale? I mean, it's incomprehensible. We can't figure that out. So it's incumbent upon us to ask him. I mean, my journey began when I began to get closer to God, began with the question. Okay, God, first I want to know who you are. I want you to reveal yourself, which he obliged me. And in doing so, he left me with a decision that I had to make, and which really kind of easy after he made himself clear that he exists. Because I had no choice. It was either bleed this or go. You know, I couldn't go back the way that I was. And the unique way that he did it, because it, when I think about it, I hadn't even thought out completely all the details that was going on. You know, the state of my life at that time. You know, I was a thief on the cross. You know, and God invited me into paradise, life with him. You know, and it's been interesting. And you, in the process, through all, I've asked questions all through the years. I've been at this now, really hard at it, since 1976, and I've had many questions, and I've gotten an answer on all of them. For one, I remember asking God about, I was watching on TV, and then back then, and we're talking 40 years ago, they were, children were starving over in Africa, and I asked God, you know, why is that happening? Because you wonder, if God is all-powerful, why is that happening? Well, he made it simple. He said, if somebody called you but they don't call your name, would you answer? No, because I assume they're not talking to me, and God is the same way. You know, if you just look at the basics concerning God, you'll begin to get some real revelation on how he functions. One, we have plans. Everybody has plans. I have plans, you know. And we act as though God is willy-nilly. The smartest person in the universe with no plan, no objective, no goal, just willy-nilly. Anything goes. You've seen throughout history these religions born. You know, that's trying to democratize God. And in other words, we get a vote and a say-so on how this should be run. But that can only come from a person that did not back up and say, okay, God Almighty, whoever you are, give me some direction, some revelation. You know, when I look at Abraham and Noah before the flood, at some point in time, well, even going back, it said, well, Seth was born under Enoch, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. I mean, there's certain realities to life that just, you know, that you realize that we haven't seen this, you know, they teach in colleges about this chaos theory, you know, and nobody's seen an auto accident produce a new car. I mean, let's face it, there's order to this. God, again, like I said, we don't think a million years down the road. We think of the now. That's why you see so much idolatry. We don't like to call it that. But it's idolatry when you have to put God to the side to enjoy it, when you have to put God to the side to obtain it. You know, and if you had to put God to the side to keep it, then it's idolatry. Nothing should come before God. Now, the issue is God created man, you know, and he created man after his own image and likeness. And again, unless you've been under a serious teacher, you really think of that as a cliche, or you don't really look that deep into it. You know, we look in the mirror and we know that God has two eyes, two arms, a mouth, lip, ears, and eyes, okay? But it's the likeness that's another area, okay? The image actually is part of the aspect that we are in charge on the earth. God is only in charge to a degree that we have to interact in a relationship with him. Now, last week we were in 1 Kings 22 because I'm trying to help get your mind to the supernatural, to see what is going on, to really draw highlight to what it says in Ephesians 6, chapter 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, that's a very key scripture in understanding this life. You're dealing with angels, and we're dealing with devils and demons and different figures that we don't see with our natural eye, but it is without doubt that they exist. I mean, this is the whole point of this teaching, is because if you don't think on those levels, you're not going to deal with the source of the problem. And as I said last week, we're coming to a place as we go forward, the level of deception is going to increase. You know, I look at the situation of the increase of the use of drugs. Okay, why? Okay, one is it weakens morals. It would be different if people had the, and a lot of people do, because everybody ain't crazy. And basically, when it comes to nutting up, it's roughly about 3% of society, if not the vast majority. Some people have probably been using drugs all along. You just couldn't tell because they didn't act crazy. You know, some people just have issues whether they own drugs or not. But it does will heighten your sensitivity. And it is the difference between, like, driving a regular car, and if you've, now, I guess most of you have never driven it. If you've driven a regular car and then driven a race car, or driven a car and then rode a fast motorcycle, you kind of get an idea that you're taking your senses to another level, okay? I'm trying to help. And seeing this is what Satan does. He'll take good things that God does and pervert them. We're going to hopefully get to that aspect and when we deal with the two temptations, because if I don't, I'm going to deal with them, you know, if I don't get to finish it in today's session, I'm going to complete it, because it's imperative that you understand, because we're coming upon, every day, every hour, every minute, we're closer to the rapture. And for that time, up to that time, and after that particularly, the level of deception that Satan is going to bring about is going to draw a lot of people away. You know, in the book of Thessalonians, it said there's going to be a great falling away. It's kind of a paradox. On one end, there's going to be a revival, you know, or a lot of people getting saved. And it is happening right now. The biggest growth is ironically happening in the same countries that persecute Christians. But and in the process of persecuting Christians, just like it was in the beginning, the more they persecuted Christians, it's like the more people wanted to be a Christian, you know, because they saw something. But it's, you know, you pay attention to detail. God said he shall pour out his spirit upon all flesh, pour it out. I don't remember him shutting it off. What people do is shut it out, see. So, again, we're talking something that Satan tried to take the life of God that God designed and then label it as a religion and then try to democratize it and say, it don't matter which one you pick, all of them the same. No, they are not all the same. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 2 and 3, God makes it clear there is one God. He is that only God, you know. And so anything else is a lie, you know. So again, this is something that Satan has been perpetrating throughout his history. That's what he is. He, you know, he's just a liar. He's the father of lies. That's what he do, you know. And that's because he still has this delusion. Some way, somehow, he can win this deal, despite the fact that the Bible has clearly made it evident that he is going to lose. He's just a loser, you know. Again, now, I was talking about Ahab, King Ahab, and a conversation that was going on. I guess I should go to that now. That's in 1 Kings, chapter 22. And my notes here. Because there was a situation, and where this prophet Micaiah was in prison, and he wouldn't lie. That's bottom line is, okay. But now. Let me read what is going on right here. This is in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 20, all right? Now, this is an event. This is, I meant to look it up. It's not a hyperbole. It's a real event. It's a revelation of a prophecy concerning Ahab. But we're going to go back to chapter 21 and find out why God got to that point, because I want you to be clear that God is just, this isn't just happening. You know, because I know there's a certain teaching out there that God is some type of sadist, and he just sits back and do things and let people suffer. Well, no, there's a method to this madness, okay? And there's a reality to it, you know. It says, and the Lord said, now this is Micaiah speaking. Well, I'm going to start with verse 19, 1 Kings 22:19. And he said, hear thou the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all of the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said, how will you do that? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, and thou shalt persuade him and prevail and go forth and do so. Now let me clear that up. That was the Lord said, you shall persuade him and prevail. You're going to get this done and go forth and do it. Now, it says, now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets. This is Micaiah speaking. And the Lord hath spoken evil concerning these. Now, the point is in your life, you know, in 2 Timothy 3:12, it said, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. You're going to have challenges. Again, you have to look at the totality, because on the other side of this, okay, everybody that then died now are not dealing with flesh as we are. They're dealing with the person that they really are. You know, the Bible talks about a man named Enoch, and how God translated him. And I note the use of the term translated him. It didn't say called him up to heaven. It says translated him. Now, you know, when we translate something, that means we bring about, we express the truth of what it is. When I translate a word from English to Greek, we're going into what it is, and that's what God did. And he translated Enoch. Now, it didn't say he transported Enoch, you know. And it's amazing that people will try to redefine that rather than ask God, what did that mean? See, Enoch never died. He never saw a grave, okay? He just went straight on into heaven, but he had to become a heavenly person. And the uniqueness about that is that at somehow, some way, somehow God was able to Christianize him. That's the best way I can express that, because we of our ourselves can't really be admitted to heaven unless that process occurs. Like I say, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's a passport to heaven, to which now if you die without, you can't get there. If you look in Luke chapter 16, you will see the place of Sheol, I believe, where if you died before Jesus came, you went there. And if you will also note in that area, in that same location, you had a separation of people that God knew would serve him and people that God knew wouldn't serve him. I mean, when you look at that in and of itself, that you got a conversation going on between two men, and there's a 500-year gap between them. They don't know each other. They never saw each other on TV or the radio, you know, but yet still there's this conversation going on, and they clearly identify him, because once you leave his flesh, your capacity, your faculty is at fullness. See, we barely understand who and what we are, which is why I believe there is a identified, clear 1,000-year period. That 1,000-year period is not the end of time. It's the end of a particular age and a period. And during that time, those of us that are in Christ will be a different person. We will be translated. That's the best way to put that. We will be the type of person that Jesus is now. Remember, you go back, and when he appeared before the disciples in John chapter 20, I think 20 and 28, 20, 26, somewhere in there, he just appeared. That is, again, that's commanding the molecular atmosphere. See, we are just scientifically beginning to understand these realms that we live in, because now we've developed equipment that allow us to see these things, where we can see things at a micro level, at a real micro level. I mean, we're talking to the millionth of an inch that you can't see with the common eye, but we are now very well aware of. This is why the advent of nanotechnology exists. And it's about this realm. And again, you're talking about living forever. You're going to live forever. You get to choose heaven or hell. You didn't get to choose how you was going to get here and what you was going to look like, but you do get to choose that. And we're talking about having almost virtually unlimited capacity. So look at what people do with money, and that'll give you an idea. Look at what people do with power and authority, and that'll give you an idea why God hinges everything on learning to live your life in love. Now, see here, We're going to go back to 1 Kings chapter 21. And remember, I brought about a particular female named by the name of Jezebel. You know, basically nowadays, all my life I've heard that name, and I would hear whenever they wanted to criticize a female, or they thought that she was just she lived outside the will of God, outside the word of God. What we would commonly call a whorish woman, they call her Jezebel, you know, because Jezebel was some kind of character. She was she came from a, what they call it, Gentile culture. She was not raised up as a Jew. One, Ahab should not have married her, okay, but you know how men are. That was one of the things I was saying, men, they, I'm trying to be polite here. Let's just say they don't think too well. They get their heads confused. They let things get in their head that shouldn't happen. And anyway, so he let that influence into his life. It isn't that he didn't, see, what God expects in these situations, or what, first off, he shouldn't have married her, but after he married her, still, he was supposed to be bringing her before the Lord. He, you know, they've always had the chance to pray, and back then, even though, if you know, you could take the issue to the priest, and the priest could pray, and then you kept at it until you got the desired result. So that's always been a part of the program, because again, that's part of understanding things from God's way. First, what would have been required was for him to repent for making that mistake, and then proceed to walk in alignment with the word of God, which he did not do. Anyway, I want to read some of the things that he did. Okay, well, I'm going to just read this one. This is in 1 Kings 21:25. Okay. Because Jezebel worshipped other gods. Basically, in the simplicity, she worshipped Baal. Baal, you know what? That's just an alias for Satan. There's God and there's Satan. There are no third parties. You know, like in India right now, today in 2021, they have like 2 million gods. They ain't got 2 million gods. They got demons. That's all they think they got. See, and that what's going on with that is, there's not enough Christians praying for them in that country. Because, see, we the only ones have authority to overthrow that stronghold of the devil. And that's a powerful aspect of this life, a stronghold. I just learned something, or a new expression or detail on that. But here it just says, now, Ahab was a succession king. Amen. He came into it, and you know, the Bible makes a statement that he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. But this is one aspect of that. It says, but there was none like Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in the following idols, in following idols, according to all the things as did the Amorites, which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Okay. Now the reason all this is in the Bible is to give you a history on human behavior in the light of God. And the point here is that you can't, all this is being perpetrated by Satan, because he knows that he can only gain control in the earth through a man or a woman. And in this case, he was using, so his ultimate goal is the destruction of man. In order for him to access and to destroy, he has to get them out of the will of God. Once you're out of that, for those of you that are new, I have a series called 7 Reasons That Causes Prayer to Fail. they basically called you to fail at accessing all the promises of God. See, that was one of the things that baffled me for life, was the status of Christian life with access to God. But as I think back and I listen to what comes out of people's mouths and what they do and how they act, well, I can see why their life is the way it is. I can see the challenge, why their life, why Satan could easily block their blessings in every aspect of their life. He does not have the ability to override them, but they let him come in. You know, I believe it's in Ephesians 4:27. Let's go read some of that, a little bit of that. Because again, now we're going into the New Testament. I know, and I want to try to be mindful of my new people to show the continuity. See, in the Old Testament, you have God is very verbal, so you really have to read the Old Testament. And it's very historical. And it's really the thing about it, really what I like about it is it's now very verified history. They've dug up a lot of those areas that these events went down, and they found actually fossils and remains of a lot of the things that we read about in the Bible, because it's really almost basic history. You pick up any history book, and you will find an alignment. I remember once when my youngest son was in the sixth grade, and I was reading, we were sharing in his history book, and I saw it mentioned about King Darius. And I told him, that's the same King Darius that's in the Bible. That's why it's imperative. So it behooves parents to be aware. This is why they have to read the word. Do not let the devil trick you into thinking this is a religious book. It's not. Because it's written in the King James English, okay, that isn't a religious language. Thou shalt, thou. That's just how they spoke back 1,500 years ago. That's the reason why when they wrote this down. Now you have more modern translation. You just have to be careful of translation versus versions, okay? A version is drafted off of the original writings in the Hebrew and the Greek, and a translation is drafted off of a version. That's the difference, okay? That's just a little FYI. Now, here Paul is using a reference because, again, historically, just being born makes you one type of culture, and then learning of God is about coming into his culture. And that's a decision that you make, particularly as an adult. Now, here he's talking to the Ephesians, which were Gentiles. So he's trying to help them to understand the same way I'm trying to help you understand now. I'm going to start with verse 24, Ephesians 4:24, and it says, you know what, give me a minute here. I want to get this from the NIV, and maybe that'll help. Again, like I said, you have to think of the Bible as God's psychology for eternity. In verse 24, and he said, and to put on the new self. Okay, matter of fact, I'm going to start with verse 22 on this one. It says, you are taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, okay? To be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And in your anger, do not sin. And do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. That's for married folk. Okay? Don't go to bed, pull a cover over your head before you make up. That's God's law. This is not a suggestion. Okay? This is one of those areas that block blessings. This is what, because in Mark 11:25, Jesus said, if you don't forgive, or Mark 11:26, if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you, and if you're unforgiving, you're open for attack by the devil. See, you cannot live this life without a consciousness. You don't want to be overly conscious of the devil, Because in 1 John 4:4 it says, greater is he that's in you. Now, the fact that it says that eliminates excuses for living in submission to Satan. Because what it says is the key, it says, and do not give the devil a foothold. You know, a foothold, when you give him a place to plant down. Nope, not what. Let me go back and read this together. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Okay? Now, and it goes on from there to talk about the lifestyle. Because, you know, I mean, when you think of stealing, we oftentimes, even though we've seen some of the greatest theft in history, in recent history, back in 2008, we saw banks steal, or I'm going to just say it, banks stole about $4 trillion. You know, there was no need to bail them out with taxpayer dollars. You know, and immediately they start giving, they say, how you give yourself a bonus for bad business practice? I don't know. But this is what the Bible is talking about. And this applies to everybody. Nobody's exempt to that. Now we go back to 1 Kings chapter 22. And what I wanted, my point with going back and point out what Ahab had did, why God, when you read this conversation, you know, I remember this years ago when it says, I'm going to read from the NIV in 1 Kings chapter 22. I'm going to start with verse 19. Well, I'm going to start with verse 18. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that Ahab is talking to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you he never prophesied anything good about me but only bad? Okay, think back. When you go back, if you study Baal, basically there were two gods, two false gods, Baal and Ashtaroth, and part of the worship service was a sex act. That you found that common amongst a lot of culture. One of the Caesars, Caligula, was notorious for that. They had all type of aberrant sexual activity going on. And Satan tried to pervert that because he know what it means. It's, the word fornication is the word pollution. Is the Greek, it's called porneia, from which we get pornography. And so this had became a national issue. And you're going to see that in the near future. You're seeing it. Some of you are seeing it now. I'm hearing things from people when I was doing Uber before COVID of activities going on there. Like, you got sex clubs now. And it's growing. And that's understandable because the hardest challenge to sin that there is that which is natural. You ain't got to go outside of yourself to get it. That's just a natural desire, okay? So Satan perverts that because, you know, that's what he do. He know it gives him leadership authority when he can get you, again, out of the will of God. And again, this is increasing. Now, with the advent of this is why you saw so much resistance, even though in the past they didn't know really, from lack of experience, what the impact of drugs were, even because they allow alcohol, and it does the same thing. You drink enough alcohol, you will forget what happened last night, and even if you regret it, you know. And a lot, I've heard that time after time after time from people. I don't remember what I did last night. I woke up in somebody's bedroom, and I didn't even know who it was. Well, and again, what you're dealing with here, you're going to need to be able to access the power of God, because this country has gone away from God like never before. I didn't grow up they wouldn't have allowed a Church of Satan in Detroit back when I was a child. They would have burned it down, and they would have prosecuted or immediately impeached anybody that was involved with allowing such foolishness. And now everything's a go. That's one of your classic signs of an end of a era. They're in the Bible, and they always happen in that fashion. You see, you begin to see that the leadership, again, with Ahab, listen to what's going on right here, and you'll see it because I recently seen this, okay? Okay, where are we going? And the king of Israel said, didn't I tell you that he never prophesied anything good to me but only bad? Micaiah continued, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. Some of y'all are going to have visions. It says in the last days, you know, and they're going to dream dreams and see visions. Don't be afraid of that. But also be wise about it. Don't run out and tell somebody that, one, don't believe in God, and you have to be conscious of some Christians that are just vain, okay? Some things you might want to discuss it with your pastor, and if you want your revelation first to come from God. That's the first person you ask. The most you expect from your God, from the pastor, is it should relate or lock up and agree with what you heard from God, and what you heard from God or what you saw concerning God must always line up with Scripture in at least two places. Always line up with Scripture in at least two places. Never just one, but God is, you know, like that. And you're going to see it. If he said you're going to dream dreams and have visions, see, there are things I've seen I'm never going to tell, but the reason for that is for me to be aware so that I be compelled to do what I'm doing right now. This is part. When I do go back to doing Uber, I'm not going to be doing Uber for money because I'd rather do something else for money that I'd enjoy more. Because, you know, I'm quiet as kept. I mean, I like people, but, you know, you have to let whoever in your car, but I'm always protected. See, that's another reason for me being in alignment with my life. I do not leave out of here and not pray and command. I command angels to encamp around about me. See, I looked at the math. The angels are there. They powerful. They can do what they do, but yet I saw people still getting killed, robbed. But the only thing to prevent that is for, to me, what was missing, and everything God, something God left out, he said in Deuteronomy 29, the secret things belong to God, that which is revealed belong to us. But if it belonged to God and you want access to it, you got to go to God to get it, and there's the conditions. You got to be serious about it. God is very merciful. If if you're out of order, he'll say, well, listen, correct this, and we can talk, okay? And like I said, don't take it lightly. Like I say, it doesn't. You know, this is the whole of life is about you learning to always be consistent in your relationship with God, keeping him in everything. How Ahab got beside himself? He let God go to the wayside for what? A woman, really? I mean, I understand. I've been married. I mean, I like the softness and all that, but not when it comes to God. Okay? All right. It says, finally, let me do this right here. It says, finally, it says, and the Lord said, let me go back to verse 19. It said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the hosts of heaven standing round about him on his right hand and his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth Gilead and going to his death there? Now, this is where they get that teaching that God is sadistic. Now, because if you go back, Ahab was in clear by, if you go back and read all about Ahab, you'll find he regularly practiced, not only he practiced violation of God's commandment, practiced it ongoing. He led the whole nation that way. See, which is a deadly situation. And this is why we have to pray. This is why God gave us authority to pray for them that are in leadership. This is why, you know why people are trying to get into America? Because of the prayers of the saints and the way this country runs and the blessings that are here are from the right, because of the righteous that are here. Don't get left behind. Don't get left behind. If you want to know what's going to happen when you get left behind, go and start to read in Revelation chapter 5 on up, from 5 on up to 20. And you'll know if you don't want to get left behind. Make it a point to read it. Let it horrify you. Let it scare you. So you are like, I ain't going through that. This is, life is enough. All right. Says finally, so now you got the conversation. Who will mislead Ahab? It said finally a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. By what means, the Lord asked. I will go out and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets, he said. All right, so we know what happened then. He went and they was prophesying lies. Because how you going to win the battle? Now, this is the issue. Let's go back and review what happened, how this conversation came up. Jehoshaphat was the king, amen, and they were getting ready to go to battle to Ramoth Gilead. And if the Lord is with you, you're going to win. But now, if God is with you, there's conditions. You can't be living in sin. You can't be living against God and be victorious. See, before Ahab started letting himself go off on the deep end, Israel was doing fine. And this is where I get the revelation that one of the challenges going forward in the last days, there's going to be an enormous amount of prosperity. And people are starting to see it, but they don't have all the details. They haven't really looked that deep into it, and that ain't a bad thing, okay? Israel, when you read in the Old Testament, if you go back, they got in trouble when they were very prosperous. Because what happened when people got money? Look at people with money. They don't think they need God. They think money is God. They think they do God a favor if they write a big check for $1 million for a church, okay? You know what? All the money you have, it will not stop you from dying. It won't stop you from getting sick, you know? It ain't about that. And it is not. In Luke chapter 16, there's two rich men. One went to heaven, the other went to hell. So it ain't about whether or not you can be rich. God made this earth for us to enjoy. God does not want to be left out. That's the whole point, because there's more than this. What's going to happen going forward? There's more than this. We got all this junk now because we need it. Jesus didn't need a car. You look at Acts chapter 1, when he left, they did not drive him to the airport and drop him off. They did not take him to Cape Canaveral and put him on a rocket to send him to heaven. He just floated on up in the air. And God wants to give you that same ability. The 9 months it took for them to send a rocket to Mars, you'll be able to get there. And you won't even complete the thought of Mars, and you'll be there. And the conditions of Mars will not impact you. That's power you really can't understand. I know that sound way out there. But look at your hand. Look at your body. You got 200 different types of cells, and they are not tied together by wire or held together by super glue or clay or none of that. Everything that you around you can be analyzed and seen on the molecular level. Essence, everything you see right now will be the equivalent of what we would call a force field. How light reflects on it allows you to see it. You won't get deep. Do some research about how light illuminates. Think about that. That map behind me is not lighting up. Light is showing you the molecular alignment, the speed of the molecules. They're not even sitting still. The white are fast molecules. The darker the color, the slower. You got to see what this life is about. God is if you think of this on a basic education level, we're in probably the 6th grade, 7th grade. Because when we start the millennial reign under Jesus Christ for that 1,000 years, that's when we'll start heading toward the 12th grade and in the college level. Because we'll be operating in that power. But a lot of people, really, we haven't learned the two things that Jesus said, how to love God. I've met people that are mad at God. Like, okay, I get it. But God did not get your mama pregnant. He didn't even tell your daddy to do it. Okay, that was something your daddy did. Okay, we are decision makers. God give us an opportunity. The fact that we all come here by incident, accident, or purpose does not negate the fact of the need of salvation. I mean, it's the deal. You have to accept that reality. Okay. Now again, if you grasp this, God will show you how to be blessed in every aspect of your life. He's loving like that. And you'll be able to, even the greater thing is to be a blessing to someone else's life and to understand the power that you have. All right. So do we know, okay, that what we got here about what means? Now, we're going to switch off and we're going to go to where the trouble began. Show the difference between the two atoms. And we're going all the way back to Genesis. Okay, I believe I finished with that. Being clear, I want to relate to Satan being the god of this world. That's the point I want to bring out now, and how he obtained that. And we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, you got in Genesis chapter 1, you got the recreation of the earth and yeah, recreation. That's right. I said it right. Because in verse 1 and 2, you see God created the heaven and the earth was void without form. If you've been following, you know that it became without form when Satan hit it, which to me answered that question that you heard back in college, what happened when an immovable object hit an indestructible object? Well, now you know the answer. Okay. The immovable object got obliterated. It says, not a serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. Now, do not take this light. Look at what's happening here. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Now, think about this. Now, you know, there's another incident of a talking animal in the Bible, but this is the level of life at that time. See, we're going to go, that's another thing that's going to go back. Now, there's a debate on that I've heard recently. Some say there are no animals in heaven, but Jesus rides back on a horse. So well, that kind of negates that argument. And then some say it won't. I said it, but the Bible said it, the lion and the lamb going to lay down together. So how the lion and the lamb going to lay down together? If they're not going to be in heaven, no animal, okay, we're going to be on earth. So it's still going to be, you know, new heaven, new earth. Lion and lamb, whatever, they're going to live at peace. Don't matter. But the point here, it dawned on me one day that that was a common event, talking to the animals, until trouble hit. Okay? So, it says, and now, what I'm referring to now is how Satan used temptation to gain control of the earth. And, again, this is how he opened doors. He's not getting them to go out and commit murder at this time. They're not anything. They're not even lying. But they're out of the will of God because God told them not to. Okay? Eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Simple. As simple as that. We gave them a simple command. He said, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. And then Satan went on to lie, okay? And as a result, they lost their position and authority. And Satan became the god of this world, you know. Try to clear this up. We're running a little long time, but I'm just getting started on this aspect of it. See, you got to understand that God, when he gave, you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our own image, and we will give him dominion. Matter of fact, I want to go back and I want to read that because I want that, like I said, I want to be conscious of the fact that I got new people in there. One particular person is very interesting, and I want them to have an understanding. Because, like I say, one of my objectives in this whole, all of this teaching for me, my mission that I've been given is to try to help the millennials understand. Because we, like I said, we're barely, it's amazing that a lot of what is being taught, you know, I was listening in on one of my brother's Bible reading classes, and I remember, not long ago, because I've lived 45 years, I remember the resistance. I remember a conference and resistance to that being taught basically in church. And that was astounding. And I'm looking at the scripture, and it says, study to show yourself approved. And we're talking about a complex book, and we're talking about the history, historically, throughout the Bible, prophets were the men that made it their business to seek God out for revelation so that they could give it back to the people. So how would you not want them to go verse by verse through the Bible? I could not remain that. Even there was a point in the history, the Catholic Church, they had a ban in the Pope, I don't even want to know his name, banned ownership of a Bible. You couldn't own a Bible. That's what your earlier word, when you hear the word Protestant protested the Catholic Church control over the Word of God. That's how the name Protestant came about. It wasn't a denomination. It was a people that decided, we want access to the Word of God because I don't trust you because you flesh. And that's where I am. That's why I sat down and read the whole Bible. And I found out that you, without anybody, I didn't even know about Protestant and Catholic and all that. All I know is when I read the Bible, I remember what I heard in a church particularly. I ain't going to name the one that I was going to. But I began to see that men would not say exactly what was in the Bible. If you don't believe it right now, there's some people that don't believe what I'm saying. You know what? That's not my problem. I am not God. I am not the judge. I've been given an assignment. Listen, I was trying to gather. I got stuff to do personally that I wanted to do. You know, I have to stop my day and meditate and sit. I have to sit and listen to God to be able to tell y'all what I'm telling you now. That takes something. And because I love you, that's what my motivation is. I feel the same way about you that God does. All right. Well, we didn't come down to the end of this. But when it comes to the first temptation, I want you to read this over. Go back. I want to read verse 26 before I go into offering Christ. It says, then God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, make man in our image and in our likeness. That really amazes people that he just says that. But, you know, one day I'm going to teach God. Y'all pray for me because I've decided to add another chapter in my book. This is the final, I'm doing a final rewrite on it. And, you know, he said, let us make God in our likeness and let them rule over the fish and of the sea and of the and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. So that's where God gave man in the King James, the original version, the Hebrew language, it says God gave them dominion. And he has not rescinded that. That's a reality you have to see. So there's another thing. I've heard people pray prayers, asking God to do things. First off, if you don't have a covenant with Jesus, that makes it hard for God to be able to answer you. Amen. I got teachers on prayer. My brother has teaching on prayer. There's lots of prayer. You need to understand you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? And while we're on that subject, this is a good place to seg out. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just pray this simple prayer. And if you've received Christ and you've backslidden because you got confused, you got your heart broken or for whatever reason, and I'm telling you, now is the time you want to come back and reunite yourself with God so you can complete your mission that God has given you. Just pray this prayer with me. Lord God in heaven, I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe you sent him to die for my sin. And I ask right now to forgive me for my sin, and I ask, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And Father, I thank you. I believe it. I receive it. I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I am born again and saved right now. And for those that have backslidden, Father God, I ask forgiveness. You said if we confess our sin, before you. You are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all righteousness. And I know that you keep your word, and I thank you. I believe I receive my restoration right now in Jesus' name. So with that, keep in mind, you don't have to focus on just the devil, but you need to be aware that he exists. And the only way you're going to know God's way versus Satan's way is you have to know the word. And if you don't know, this is why you have to belong to a church, so you can be around somebody where you can ask questions. Amen. You know, I mean, you should be able to ask somebody. Remember this. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. Amen. That means nothing missing, nothing broken. God got it all good for you. Bye. See you next week. Hallelujah.
It's your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxing or action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept for me, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? No need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
Now I've been getting up from God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrapped his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you could be the same way. And have the same faith, but you got a chance. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So was you down with it? What you trying to do? You want to call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.